appreciate that special night. Nothing like knowing that you're free.
Amen.
Both those are really most of the songs that we sung tonight talk about the fact that we're free in Him and our sins are covered and our sins are forgiven. There's no blessing like that. But talk about the old account was settled. Think about the fact when I stand before the judgment bar and the books are open, they shall not find a thing.
Glory.
Not that there's nothing that could be written there,
right.
But it's all under the blood.
Right. Amen.
First Peter tonight, if you would. First Peter chapter 5. We're going to get this book finished off eventually. First Peter chapter 5. We're in no hurry. We're just waiting on the Lord to come back.
Amen.
So we'll just keep plugging along until He comes back. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look, if you would, down in verse 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Normally, you don't start a message or a Sunday school lesson on a likewise, but we'll sort out the context here in a moment. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want to work on this thought tonight. Be the best dressed Christian you can be. Be the best dressed Christian you can be. Father, we pray that You help us tonight as we look into Your Word for a few moments. I know it's already been a long day for some, and I know that tomorrow is Monday, and so we're facing down a new week, and I'm sure there are plenty of thoughts in the room tonight about all that has to be done this week and has to be done tomorrow and work in the morning and school in the morning or whatever it may be. And so I just pray tonight that You help us just kind of put that aside for just a few moments and see that which You laid on Peter's heart to record for us and You preserve for us. Lord, and then that we'll read it, hear it, and make some application to our lives tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, I was saved when I was 9. My dad got saved, and I've given my testimony before, but my dad got saved, and we started going to church. I got saved. And we weren't in a terribly strong church. There were some good people. There were good people in that church, but it wasn't a terribly strong church, and we went most of the time, but we weren't, you know, a plugged-in family, per se. But, you know, we went quite frequently anyway. And, you know, as I was thinking about this message, and I think back upon that time, you know, you think different later in life than you do early on. I've preached that before. You know, you're not always going to think like you do now. If you're a young person, it's something you always want to keep in mind. You're not always going to think like you do now. And so looking back on that time, you know, one of the things that can there be a good envious? But if there is one, you know, I'm kind of envious of our younger people here and some of you who've grown up here. When I was growing up, I didn't have any older men in church, you know, that I could look to, that I could go to, that I could, you know, talk to, or I could, you know, hear teach, you know, in men's prayer on Saturday morning or whatever it may be. I didn't have that influence in my life. That's one of the things looking back now, how much I wish I'd had that in my life. You know, my dad was a good man. You know, he wasn't maybe as sold out for the Lord as he probably should have been, but God still did a work in his heart, and he kept us in church more or less. And so I'm not criticizing him at all, but I just didn't have any of that in my life. I didn't have, you know, I can come to church and see good men that I could really look to or go talk to or get advice from or counsel from. I just didn't have that. And I don't know, you know, at that age, if I'd appreciated it, if I'd had it. But looking back now, knowing what I know, I wish, you know, I'd had that. I feel like I missed something important there. Amen. In my life. And some of you know what I talk about, especially if you got saved later in life, you may know what I mean. So I wish I'd had all of that. And I was kind of thinking about that as I thought about this text tonight, when it talks about in verse 5, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and we'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But let's just get started on this. The first thing we notice here in this text is this exhortation to submission, this exhortation to be submissive and to be humble. And if you were with us last week, we already looked at the first few verses in this chapter. And in chapter 5, in verse 1, you know, the word elder there refers to the pastors in the church. He says, the elders which are among you. And so Peter starts out talking to the pastors in the church. And so in verse 1, elders refers to the pastors. When we get down to verse 5, Peter mentions the younger and the elder. And here, this doesn't refer to the pastors in the church. This refers to the younger people and the older people in the church, or the younger and the older people in the church, not the pastors. Now, Peter doesn't give us any physical age to define what's younger or older. He doesn't tell us what age bracket that might be. And it can be applied in two different ways, and I think both of the ways are appropriate for this passage. It could be applied as far as younger and older based on physical age. Could be applied in that way. And it could also be applied in the sense of older and younger in the Lord, those who are saved versus those who have been saved many years. And in either case, that application works, and I think it's an important application in either case. And in a church, we have both. The church is made up of both. It's made up of younger and older people physically. It's made up of older and younger people in the Lord, people who haven't been saved too awfully long, people who have been saved much longer in life, maybe some who've grown up in church but haven't, you know, really launched out into their adult life versus those who have been launched out in the adult life a long time. All right, and so it's made up of both of these different groups. Now, if you go back to verse 5, and I don't want to get too caught up in definitions here or words, but words are important. And so look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, likewise. Now, likewise means in like manner or similarly. And so in verses 1 through 4, Peter exhorts the pastors. And as he exhorts the pastors, listen, he exhorts the pastors to know and to do their duty. And we saw this last week. It is to feed the flock, to take the oversight, to not have an attitude of constraint, but to do it willingly, to not be in the pastoring business, you know, to not do it for money's sake, to do it of a ready mind, which simply means with an eagerness, and don't be lords over the heritage that Christ paid for in his blood, that Christ purchased, and then to practice the very things that you preach. Be an example of those things. So Peter gave the pastors this exhortation to do their duty. Now, likewise, he says in verse 5, likewise, you younger and older, doesn't mean that the younger and the older, whether it's saved or whether it's physical age, doesn't mean that they have the same duties, because they don't have the same duties as pastors do. And so it doesn't mean it in that sense. What Peter is saying is that just like pastors have duties, so do the younger and the older. So when it comes to the younger and older as far as physical age, younger and older as far as saved, the length of time that a person's been saved, they have responsibilities as well. There's things they need to be exhorted to as well. And so he says we have both of these. Now remember, the word exhort, as we saw last time, the word exhort means to encourage someone to respond in a particular way, to do a certain thing, to think a certain way, to have a certain attitude, to behave in a certain way. And so Peter says, I exhorted the pastors to do the things they're supposed to do. Now I want to exhort the younger and the older to do their responsibility as well. Everybody with me so far? So he wants to exhort them to do that. So Peter, first of all, in verse 5, he exhorts the younger. He says he exhorts the younger to have an attitude of submission toward those who are older, both physically and spiritually. We can apply it that way. He says in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, whether that's older physically or whether it's older spiritually. He says one of the responsibilities or one of the wise duties of a younger adult, a younger person, is to submit themselves unto those who are older in whichever way you want to, in whichever way you want to define it. Now, also notice this in verse 5. I'm trying to set the rest of the message up. Notice in verse 5, he uses two different words. He says, first of all, submit yourselves. Then he says later on that all of you subject yourselves. So he uses the word submit and to subject. Now the word, both words mean exactly the same thing. They come from the exact same Greek word. They both mean submission. But Peter uses two different English words because he's going to apply them a little bit differently to the younger and all of us. He's going to make a little bit different application of submission, and hopefully, you know, we'll see that here as we get started. So Peter encourages the younger in verse 5. He exhorts them, encourages them to submit unto the older. One more word, submission or to submit, means to arrange yourself under. So he says in every church you have those who are older in the Lord and you have those who are significantly older than you spiritually. Now, if you are 2 years older than somebody else, don't go out of here not going, submit, man, submit, because I am your elder, all right? I have two whopping years experience on top of you, all right? Now, he's talking to those who are significantly older physically, and those who are significantly older in their spiritual life. And so he says that if you're younger in age or younger in the Lord, you should submit, you should arrange yourself under them. You should rank yourself under them. Again, that's what the word submit means, to place yourself under. Now, when we think about the word submission, or when we think of submission, it's most likely that we think of this definition, and that is to place yourself under the authority of. When we think about submission, we say, well, you need to be in submission. We think of placing yourself under the authority of another. And the Bible uses the word that way. It uses it that way in the home. You know, wives are being submission to their husbands. That uses of children. Children are to be in submission to their parents. Certainly uses it that way, and that's the way we so oftentimes think of it. And it's used that way in different places. It's used that way in a limited way in the church. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, talking about pastors, submit yourselves unto them, for they watch for your souls and must give an account. And he says, this is profitable for you. And so the word does mean that. But a church is not the same as a home, right? And so since the church is not the same as a home, the older people in the church, those who are significantly older physically or those who are significantly older spiritually, have no innate, they have no certain authority over people who are younger than they are, right? So just because you're 60 and somebody else is 20 doesn't mean that in the church you now have some kind of authority over them. Does that make sense? And just because you've been saved 50 years and they've been saved 5 years doesn't necessarily mean there's no specific authority granted you because of age. Are you with me? When it comes to the church, there certainly isn't. Now, the Bible is very clear about this, and that is that it's very clear about the fact that younger people certainly have a biblical duty to respect those who are significantly older than they are. There's no doubt about that. Leviticus 19 says this, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. And so there's no doubt that younger people, if someone is significantly older than you, then you have a biblical duty to respect the older person. And I would think the same thing is saved. If you've been saved 5 years, then you should have a certain level of respect for somebody who's been living the saved life twice as long as you've been alive. And so there's no doubt that there should be a certain level of respect there. And there ought to be some respect. But in the church, there's no particular authority of the younger over the older. Now, I said all that to say this, and that is, there's another definition of submit that's important, and this is how Peter's using it. The word also can mean this, and does mean this by definition. It means to submit to or yield yourself. Are you ready? Say amen if you're ready. I built all that. This is the suspenseful moment. I built it all up for this. The word submit also means this, to submit or to yield to the knowledge or wisdom or experience or opinion of another. Because you don't just submit to authority. That's one of the definitions of the word. But another definition is to submit yourself to the knowledge of another or to the experience of another or to the wisdom of another or to the opinion of another. That's also submission as well. And it's one of the definitions of the word submit. So while the older do not have a specific or particular authority over the younger are to respect the older, but then they're also to submit to the older in the sense that they should place themselves under the wisdom and the experience and the knowledge and the opinion of those who are significantly older than they are. Does this make sense to you? Whether it be spiritually, as far as you're saved, or whether it be physical age, one or the other. Now, there's a lot of dangers to youth, but there's two dangers to youth in the context of what Peter's talking about. One of those dangers is this, and they're both related. One of the dangers is this, and we've talked about it before. It is confusing knowledge and intellect with wisdom and experience. That's one of the dangers of youth, because I'm pretty smart, because I get good grades, because I've gotten, because I feel like I've accumulated a certain amount of knowledge. That's somehow the same as experience and wisdom. And they are not the same things. And one of the dangers of youth is relating those two things, education and knowledge, with wisdom and experience. And I don't care if you have a PhD, I don't care if you have a doctorate, I don't care if you have a master's degree, it is not the same thing as wisdom and experience. I will take wisdom and experience over youth and education any day of the week.
Amen.
All right? And I, let me say this up front, not every old person is wise. We're talking about godly older people, right? And godly saved people. And so some, in youth, one of the dangers is I go to school, I've got some education now, and I think that's, I equate that to be the same thing as wisdom and experience. And it's not the same thing. The second danger, which goes along with this, the second danger we face in our younger years is failing to recognize that. It's failing to recognize our lack of wisdom and experience. Are you with me? There's two dangers. Thinking wisdom and experience is the same as education and intellect. The second danger is confusing the two and failing to recognize my lack of wisdom and experience. Now, that doesn't make a young person dumb. Amen. It just means you haven't lived as long as other people yet. And so there's these two dangers. The second danger is being confident that those who are older in the Lord with far more experience in the saved life and life in general, they are wrong and I am right. That doesn't mean that they can't be wrong. Doesn't mean you can't be right. But generally speaking, you're going to be wrong and they're going to be right because of wisdom and experience. Now, again, none of this means a younger person can't have wisdom. Doesn't mean that they're dumb, but it means this. It means to be aware of the fact that compared to those who are older in the Lord than I am, and to be aware of the fact that those who have lived more life than I have, it's very likely that they have more knowledge and wisdom and experience than I do. So the wise thing to do in this place would be to place myself under their wisdom and under their experience and under their opinion. Now, does that mean I got to do everything they say? No, no. But when it comes to counsel and advice and wisdom, I need to remember that if I'm in disagreement with them, it's likely I'm probably the one who's wrong because they've got more wisdom and experience. I may have intellect, but they've got wisdom and experience that I don't have because they're old. Amen. They've been around longer than I have been. Amen. Respect them. They're decrepit and old. And so, but they have wisdom. All right. And so you want to hang on to them. Now, Peter said this, that in our younger adulthood, look back in verse 5, if you will. He says this in verse 5. He says, in our younger adulthood, we need to be clothed in humility. Are you getting the title now? Be the best dressed Christian that you can be. We need to be clothed in humility. Now, if you ask most people what humility is, what is humility? Well, I think most people would probably say something like, it's to not be proud. That's kind of what humility is. It's to not be proud, to not have a proud attitude. It's not being proud. And that's true. Humility is not being proud. But that raises another question, and that is, what is pride? Well, we could probably go around the room and come up with some definitions of pride, but here's what pride is, especially in the context of what Peter's talking about. Pride is to have a wrong evaluation of yourself. It's to have a, here's the better idea, it's to have a wrong or inflated measure of your own wisdom, to have an inflated view of your own knowledge, to have an inflated view of your own experiences, or to have an inflated view of your spiritual wisdom or spiritual strength. That's what pride is. You have an inflated view of self. You have an inflated view of your real wisdom or knowledge or experience, or you have an inflated view of your true spirituality. You're more spiritual than everyone else. You're a legend in your own mind. Amen. When it comes to spiritual things and wisdom and experience and knowledge. That's what pride is. It's to greatly overestimate yourself in all of these areas. So if that's what pride is, flip that definition over and you get the definition of humility. Humility is to have a correct view of self. Humility is to have an accurate view of your experience, an accurate view of your wisdom, an accurate view of your knowledge. It's to understand where I really am. Pride is when I have an inflated view of that. Humility is when I have a real, genuine understanding of where I am as far as experience and wisdom. So in youth, in youth. And listen, let's not be hard on them because we were all there. Amen. But youth is to have this inflated view of knowledge and wisdom. It's to think that we have more knowledge than we do, more wisdom than we do. And because of that, we make ignorant mistakes in life. Because older people try to tell us, but we have as much wisdom as older people. Sure, I know I'm supposed to listen to older people, but don't we younger people also have wisdom and knowledge and so forth? There's a guy in the book of Job that's like that, the fourth guy in the book of Job, where he comes on the scene after the three guys give all kinds of dumb advice, and he comes on the scene and says, I'm younger, now let me tell you old guys what it's really like. And so it's to have this overinflated view that somehow this guy over here has lived for 60 or 70 years and been through all kinds of things in life. He's been saved. You know, he got saved right after Paul did, you know, and so he's been saved forever. But somehow or another, me and my few years having just been saved, I have my knowledge and wisdom certainly is as great as his. That's an overinflated view of wisdom and knowledge. And when we get that, it causes us to make dumb decisions and dumb choices. Causes us to make useless or unnecessary decisions and unnecessary choices. So Peter says this. Peter says in verse 5, he says, the best dressed younger adult is someone who is dressed in a right understanding of where they are at the stage of life they're in. The best dressed young person is one who has a right understanding of the actual level of their wisdom and the level of their experience. Likely in areas in which they're likely not as strong as those who are older. And so he says, the best dressed young person says, you know what? I'm smart. I've been to school. I got the papers to prove that I'm smart. And so, you know, I've got some intellect. I know some of that. I'm not a dumb person. But you know what? The best dressed young person says, but I haven't lived for 50 years. Amen. I haven't bought a house. I haven't dealt with this. I haven't dealt with these issues. I haven't faced these things. But I know some people in the church who have. And so Peter says the best dressed person arranges themselves under them. He says this is the wise young person. They clothe themselves in humility. This is the best dressed. It's the realization when you're younger that no one is born knowing everything. And don't let people fool you. You know, the guy who razzes you because you know how to do something. He didn't know how to do it either until somebody showed him. Everybody has done whatever they've done first for the first time. All right. So nobody's born knowing everything. Nobody's born. So as a young person, you say, you know what? I don't have as much wisdom as this guy does. But you know what? There was a time in his life he didn't have it either. But he's earned it. He's learned it and earned it. And so why not place myself under that? No one is born with wisdom. No one's born with experience. It has to be learned and earned over time. That's the only way you get it. I wish it wasn't that way. Don't you wish you could go to the store, you know, and get a gallon jug of experience? Wouldn't that be great? Or, you know, or a pint or a bushel of wisdom or a truckload of wisdom. Wouldn't it be great if you could do that? But you can't. It has to be learned and earned over time. And there's no way in our younger years we've had enough time to learn and earn it. And there's no way when we first get saved, the first few years we're saved especially, that we have time to learn and earn that. And so what do? Paul says, Peter says, clothe yourself with the best looking outfit there is, and that's humility and understanding of where I am. So Peter says, this is what we should do. You know, think about it. It's to have this attitude. In time, I'll have all that. In time, I'll have wisdom and knowledge and experience. In time, I'll have all that. Someday, and let me help you out here, someday before you know it, if I keep serving the Lord, you'll be the older man. And you'll be the older woman who everybody's supposed to place themselves under. But for now, I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to determine to place myself under the wisdom, the experience, and knowledge of those who are old enough until that day comes in my life. Listen, if you're younger tonight, one of these days, if the Lord tarries, you're going to be sitting in church, and you will be sitting in church. Amen. Amen. And so if you're younger tonight, and one of these days, you're going to be sitting in church, And that preacher's going to be up there going, you younger people, place yourself under the wisdom and the knowledge of the older people. And you're going to be going, amen, preacher, that's right. That's what you're supposed to do right there. See, right now you may be sitting there, well, I know as much as they do. Who does he think I'm talking about? I am wise. I'm the fount of wisdom. I'm 15. Or I'm 21, and I've experienced all of life at this point in time. And one of these days, you're going to be sitting in church somewhere, if the Lord tarries, and again, you will be sitting in church, and you'll be going, that's right, man, you young people, you need to listen to the older ones. Amen? So keep serving the Lord, and it'll pay off one of these days. You'll get to be on the other side of the equation. Learning from wisdom, and especially experience of others, listen, and I'll move on. Learning from the wisdom and the experience of others is way less expensive, and it's way less painful than learning and earning it on your own. Amen? So make the decision, if you're a younger person, physically, if you're a younger person, Lord, make the decision to be the best dressed younger adult you can be and be clothed with a realization of where you actually are. Amen. And that there are people available to you with wisdom and knowledge and experience that you have not yet learned and earned. And that's okay, because it took them time to learn it and earn it too. There's nothing to be ashamed of. So be the best dressed young adult you can be. Amen? Now notice this secondly. Then next, Peter exhorts all of us. He exhorts the young people first, or younger adults first. And then he exhorts all of us in verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the other. Yea, likewise. Also, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Peter exhorts all of us to be subject one to another, or to subject one to another, which is the same thing. Now, you know, I said a minute ago that both these words, submit and subject, they both come from the same Greek word. They both mean submission, but they are a little bit different in their application. Submit or submission means to voluntarily place yourself under the wisdom, under the experience, or under the knowledge of another. Subject is a little bit different. Subject means to place yourself after another, or to place yourself behind another, to place others in front of you or before yourself. You see the difference? Submission says, you know, I don't have, or submit means I don't have all this wisdom experience yet, so I'm going to place myself under their knowledge. And now Peter turns around and says, yea, all of you also be subject one to another. In other words, place everyone else before yourself. One of the dangers of youth is having an inflated view of your knowledge and wisdom and experience. When it comes to this idea of subject, Peter says, be in subjection to one another. Don't have an inflated view of your own importance. Don't have an inflated view of your own spiritual superiority over everyone else. So he says, submit, and then he says, to subject. So while the younger are to place themselves under the wisdom and experience of the older, all of us are to place others before ourselves in the church. Amen? Because I'm not supposed to have, Brother Hubbard, an inflated view of my own superiority. I'm not supposed to have an inflated view of my own place in the church. I'm not supposed to have an inflated view of self. I'm to be clothed with humility. And he said that it's not just the younger, but let every one of us, he says, be clothed with humility. And as I have already said, when it comes to the younger, that means having a correct, not overinflated view of your own wisdom and experience. When it comes to all of us in subjection, being clothed with humility means not having an overinflated view of my own importance, my own spiritual superiority. And you see that in what he says in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And what's he say at the end of verse 6? That he may exalt you. You see, if I have this overinflated view of self, I exalt myself. Peter says, be clothed in humility, and if there is any exalting to be done, let God do it. And don't do it yourself. Or don't do it for yourself. So the best dressed young adult, or younger adult, is clothed with humility. They place themselves under the wisdom and knowledge and experience of others. The best dressed church member has a correct view of self. of their own importance, of their own spirituality. Are you with me? So we ought to be the best dressed church member we can be in that sense. The best dressed church member understands, has an accurate view of their own importance in relationship to other members. They understand that it's not about me. It's not about what I want in the area of doctrine. It's not what I want in the area of music. It's not what I want in the area of standards or qualifications. It's not what I want in the area of whatever it may be. It's not what I want to be done or what I want to do. It's about what all of us want. It's about what's best for others. Not to have an inflated view of self. Now, let's wrap this up here. When a younger person has an overinflated measure of their own wisdom and experience, and when someone has an overinflated view of their importance and spiritual superiority, that never, ever prospers in the long run. If you're a younger adult here tonight, or a young person, or a younger adult, or younger in the Lord, and you operate on an inflated view of your own wisdom, knowledge, and experience, where you actually are in life, that is not going to prosper you in the long run. It might seem great for a little bit, but it's not going to prosper in the long run. If as a church member, no matter who we are, we have an overinflated view of our own spiritual superiority, an overinflated view of where we actually are spiritually, that's not going to prosper us in the long run either. And Peter tells us why it will not prosper in the long run and why it never works. Notice what he says in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and clothed with humility. And here's why it doesn't work when we take the opposite view. He says this, it doesn't work because God resisteth the proud. And he gives grace to who? To the humble. He says, if you take the attitude as a younger adult with this overinflated view of wisdom and knowledge and experience, and this is a prevalent thing with youth, and so I have this overinflated view, I know better, I know what they say at church, I know what my mom and dad says, I know what the Sunday school teacher says, but I know that's not going to prosper. And if I have an overinflated view of self, spiritual spirit superiority in the church, where I think it's all about me and it's, the church should bend to what I want, the church should change to be what I want it to be, well, then that's not going to prosper either. And the reason why it's not going to prosper, because God resisteth the proud. God resists those who have an overinflated view of wisdom, knowledge, and experience. And God resists those who have an overinflated view of self. Now, the word resist doesn't mean that God goes to war with you. That's not what it means. But it doesn't work in the long run, because though it doesn't mean that God goes to war with you, he really tells us what he means. Let Peter speak. What do you say? He says in verse 5, for God resisteth the proud, and then he says this, but he gives grace to those who have a correct view of themselves. So when it says that God resists the proud, it doesn't mean he goes to war with them. It means that we cut ourselves off from the unmerited favor and unmerited blessings of God. And you're never going to prosper if you are cut off from the unmerited favor and the unmerited blessings of God. So God says, go ahead and have your inflated view of your wisdom, knowledge, and experience, but I am not going to bless that. I'm going to resist it, not that I'm going to do anything to you, but I'm going to resist it in that I'm going to cut you off from my grace and my mercy when it comes to blessing. Go ahead and have an overinflated view of your importance, of your spiritual superiority. And it may look like it's working for you in the short run, but in the long run, it's not going to work, because God says, I resist that, and I'm not going to give you the benefit of my unmerited favor and blessing. Come on, we all need God's blessing on our life. And he says, when we have this overinflated view of self, we cut ourselves off from that. And it defines what it means by resisting. It doesn't necessarily mean God is going to do something to us, but we're no longer going to receive the benefit of the blessings of God's unmerited favor. God's blessings will no longer be upon our life. God's grace and blessings over the long haul are on the best dressed of his children. Can I say that again? God's benefit, God's grace, God's mercy over the long haul are poured out on the best dressed among us, who have a correct view of their wisdom and knowledge, who have a correct view of self. God says, these are those that I bless. God doesn't bless the proud. God doesn't bless the young person who says, I am all wise. I know more than they do. I know everybody that I know who's older than me is telling me that what I'm doing is wrong, the decision I'm making is wrong, but I know more. The reason it crashes and burns in the long run is because God's not going to bless it. Just as God doesn't bless the church member who thinks Calvary Baptist Church or Berean Baptist Church or whatever Baptist Church should bow to their wants and their desires because they are so important. God blesses the best dressed among us over the long haul. Amen? So in light of this, and we'll finish, in light of this, what do we do? Well, you should already know if you've been listening. What are we supposed to do? Well, he tells us in verse 6, humble yourselves, what's the third word? Therefore, given this, what should we do? Humble ourselves. Have a correct view of self. Have a correct view of my intellect, knowledge, and wisdom and experience. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. In other words, that God may pour his blessing out on your life. You might experience his unmerited favor, and in doing so, God will exalt you. You know, if you listen to that, what God says, he will exalt you, and he'll bless you in your home. He'll bless you in your family. He'll bless you in your relationships. He'll exalt us if we humble ourselves. The way to get ahead with God is see yourself as you really are. And so he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. For the younger, to have a right view of your wisdom experience at this phase in your life and lean on the wisdom and experience of those who are older, be the best dressed young person you can be. And God says, I will exalt you. I will bless you, and you will be blessed in the long run. For all of us don't have an overinflated view of your own importance and spiritual superiority. Put others before yourself. Be the best dressed church member you can be. Clothe yourself with an accurate view of self. And God says, I will exalt you. I will bless you in your life. Now, we know this. Listen, we're not charismatics or the health and wealth crowd. It doesn't mean we're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. But it means that God's going to bless my life. There's a lot more to life than money and career and finances when it comes to being blessed. And God will, he might bless you in those things. If he does, don't forget to tithe, right? But he might bless you in those areas, but if he doesn't, and if you don't live here, it's too far to drive, mail your tithe. No, I'm just kidding. but it could be in the area of finances. It could be in those areas, but most likely it's going to be in the area of good, healthy relationships and the ability to enjoy life. Amen? To not have a life of chaos and drama and regret. If we just have a right view of ourselves before others. Because when you have a wrong view of self and your wisdom and intellect or experience, it usually results in regret and those sorts of things. So above everything, he says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Above everything, have a right view of yourself before God. A right view of yourself before God. Recognize his authority over your life and submit to his will and obey his word. Have a right view of him. If your view of self isn't right, your view of God will not be right. So he says, have a right view of self, then have a right view of God. Having an overinflated view of self in any area never works in the long run. So, but humbling yourself before others, especially before the mighty hand of God, is blessed in the long run, in the long term. Why wouldn't we just obey and submit to God? Why wouldn't we just listen to his word when it comes to humility? After all, we have his assurance in verse 7. Casting your care upon him for what? He careth for you. Who better could we surrender to, submit to, and obey than the one who cares more for us than anybody else does? Submit unto him. Having an overinflated view never works. Just trust his promise and submit to him. You don't need to promote self. You don't need to put yourself in front of everybody else. God will take care of you. Amen. Right? You don't need to strike out on your own wisdom because you know more than people who are three times your age. Just trust God. Obey him. Place yourself under the wisdom of those who are older than you, and God will care for you. And God will exalt you in due time. I'm not saying he'll make you wealthy, But he'll give you good relationships and a good life. Amen? In which you can look back on without regret. The world doesn't care about you. The culture doesn't care about you. Your 1,200 internet friends, they don't care about you. Those podcasters don't care about you other than the fact they need your clicks and your likes. They don't care about you. They need you to follow them so they can make more money. But they don't care about you. But God does. And your church family does. So therefore, as a younger person here tonight, or someone who's younger in salvation, be the best dressed younger person you can be. Have a right view of self. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You haven't lived for 60 years. There's nothing to be ashamed of. All right? Matter of fact, you should be glad in some ways. But there's nothing to be ashamed of. Hey, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Say, you know what, I'm 19 or 20 or 24 or whatever it may be, and I've never been down this road before. I've never done this. But you know what, I know some men in the church who have. Have a right view of self. Place yourself under that. There's why not say, you know what, I'm 18, 17, 18, whatever it may be, and you know what, I'm thinking about making this decision, and I've talked to a bunch of older people in the church, but they've all said the same thing. I'm not sure God's in this. You really need to think about this. There's wisdom in saying, you know what? They've been at this a lot longer than I have been. Right. It might just be that they have wisdom and knowledge and experience I don't have. He says, just submit yourself to that and watch God bless your life so that there's no regret when it's all over. And whatever you do, submit yourself to this book. And to God's word, because he cares for you. In your younger years, if you want to be attractive, be the best dressed Christian you can be. Or be the best looking church member, be the best dressed church member you can be. By just having a right view of self. Amen? And sometimes, let's be honest, and I'll quit. I got 1 minute and 29 seconds, so... One more thought here, and that is from time to time we need to back up and ask ourselves, what am I wearing? Why am I upset about this? Why is it that people telling me I'm making a bad decision is making me mad? Why is it making me angry that these people are telling me that's not what you should do? Why is it bothering me that my parents are saying this is a bad decision? Why does it bother me that I talk to the preacher or I talk to my Sunday school teacher and they told me, no, you shouldn't do that? Why is it that I'm all of a sudden all bowed up and thinking they have no idea what they're talking about? Why is that happening? Sometimes as older people, we got to back when all of a sudden we start thinking, you know, somebody offended me, somebody hurt my feelings, you know, as if we're some big important person. We need to back up and ask ourselves, what am I wearing? Yeah. Am I wearing the right view of self? Or am I wearing something else? No. Amen? Why don't you stand with me, if you will. Piano player's going to come, and we'll have a verse of invitation. If you need to come tonight, you certainly can. Maybe you're a younger adult or younger in the Lord. You don't have to be a young adult to be younger in the Lord. Maybe you need to come tonight in the old-fashioned altar and say, you know what, I need to get a right view of self and understand. I don't know everything yet. I just need to place myself under the wisdom and knowledge of those who have been there before. Certainly always praying about everything. I'm not saying we should just go do stuff because somebody told us to. But we should pay heed to those who have lived more life and lived more of the saved life than we have. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, God, that's a lesson I need to learn. Maybe you're here this evening and you have set a course in your life. You've made some decisions and people are telling you it's wrong and it's bothering you. It's upsetting you. Maybe you need to come tonight and ask the Lord why that is. Maybe you want to come, as it says in verse 7, and just thank the Lord that he cares for you. What a great thought that he careth for you. I'm glad we have a God tonight that we can cast our cares upon. And we just don't care. It's not like a human being where we ask sometimes people to pray for us because of this burden we're carrying. They say, sure, I'll pray for you, and never do. God cares for our soul, and he cares about us.